Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Kerry Weber.
And we're back. You are listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. I am Kerry Weber, along with Father Matt Malone, and we are speaking with Professor Elizabeth Drescher about the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S, those people who do not identify with a particular religion. So we invite you to join the conversation at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. And we have a caller on the line now. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kerry. It's Nicole Perrone. I'm a student at Yale Divinity School.
Oh, Nicole. How are you? I know you, but this is not a plant.
Fair enough.
We do know each other, not a plant. Congrats on your wedding.
Thanks very much. Do you have a question for Elizabeth?
I just have a comment because I think she's making some really important points as a person who falls under the spectrum of millennial, and I think that's the age range in which most nuns, N-O-N-E-S, fall. I think Professor Drescher brought up a very important point that it's not really a doctrinal difference. The nuns that I've interacted with, they're usually millennials. Their problem seems to be a contradiction between the gospel that we preach and the practice of what they see in the church. And so I think this also goes to the point that Kerry, you and Matt made earlier about the current issue out in Minnesota, that becomes a question of integrity and authenticity in the Catholic Church that may very well start to be addressed with accountability changes and changes of best practice. And so I think Pope Francis is a huge ticket to bringing nuns back, or at least getting them to engage more fully, because he bridges that gap between our words and our actions and turning it back to the gospel.
All right, Nicole, thanks so much for the call.
Thank you very much, Nicole.
Dr. Drescher, what do you think?
Yeah, thanks, Nicole, for that. It's certainly true that, nuns, there are more nuns under age 30 and under age 40. Actually, 40% of the nuns are under age 40 and about 30 under age 30. And certainly they experience this sort of this desire for a coherent spiritual narrative, as I mentioned, that moves across the facets of their lives. But they also want religions to have a coherent spiritual and moral narrative. So if the story in one place is about, love and compassion and mercy and justice, and in another place it's not that story, that's really hard for people to stay connected with, even when they value parts of traditions. Lots of the nuns I talked with, were actually visited churches on a reasonably regular basis, enjoyed worship, found lots of practices that we would find very, very conventional, especially prayer, which is sort of the mobile technology of the church, right? So you're able to take it with you anywhere.
Right.
And they really valued that, but they didn't want to be involved in what they saw as the politicking of religion and the moral inconsistency across religions. And Nicole is right that people do identify with what seems like a more authentically Christian and more coherent and cohesive spiritual narrative from Pope Francis. That doesn't seem to be ticking up the affiliational numbers, either in the Catholic Church or in Christian churches more generally. I understand it's having some effect on vocations.
Right.
But it is engaging people in religious and spiritual questions in new ways. And I think that when we're able to kind of get past the anxiety of, the congregational affiliational reality is that declining numbers mean that churches will close.
Right.
It's really difficult and painful, and we need to grieve that and live through that. That's a reality. But if we can live through that and move into a place where we're looking at this moment of engagement, how do people really connect with one another around the questions that are the stock and trade of religions, then there are real opportunities to nurture the human spirit.
And that's very, really very true. And one of the things that you identify in your article that I immediately connected in my own mind to Francis is Francis is saying to those who are affiliated to Catholic Christians principally, but to all religious people, you know, we have to conduct a thorough self-examination here because, you know, if people look to us and they don't see us as joyful people or able to give an account of the joy that is within us, and they look to us and they only see some kind of hypocrisy or injustice, then that fatally compromises their connection with us. And I thought one of the great takeaways from your article was something similar, where you're essentially saying, you know, people who are religious do themselves and these folks that we would like to connect with a disservice by kind of saying, well, they're spiritual, not religious, and dismissing them as if that's a contentless experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things that is significant is that traditional religions have a lot of language for talking about how they do religion and spirituality, right?
Mm-hmm.
People who begin to explore those kinds of questions outside of that mode often don't have language readily available for it. And so it can sound a lot of times to researchers like they're really inarticulate.
Mm-hmm.
And that can sound like there's nothing there, that it's vacuous and self-referential and all of those kinds of things. And then there's this sort of demeaning of what's happening there. When we flip that, and I think Pope Francis has done that and said, let's really model what it means to be attentive to the Spirit of God wherever it's moving,
right?
In people, however they're living their lives. Let's be really attentive to us, and let's share, as you've said, the joy that we experience in our faith and the compassion and justice that draws us toward, and let's maybe not worry so much specifically about how do we shore up a specific congregation.
Right.
Because the goal is not to have a certain number of people check a box on a survey. The goal is to have people actually apply the beliefs of a faith to their life and these spiritual practices to their lives. And in many ways, some of these nuns might be doing that better than some people who say, yes, check, Catholic, but I don't really think about it. I'd say, oh, okay, I'm Catholic, and check it off, but don't actually explore those issues.
That's something that I always say. I always say that one of the greatest challenges facing the church are people who are religious but not spiritual.
Right.
But in any event, we have another caller, Tom from Florida. You're on America This Week. Hello, Tom.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Do you have a question for Dr. Drescher?
Well, no, but I've got a comment. I've been listening to callers and Dr. Drescher, and I'm considerably older than a millennial. But when you look at the pattern lifestyle of millennials and talking in terms of religion, or non-affiliation, they don't like to commit to anything, basically. They want to do their own thing on their own terms. And that's not always wrong, but more oftentimes it's not right. It's just taking to go to church or to affiliate is taking time away from other things that they want to be doing. It's an easy way out. Just check the box, none. Nobody's going to bother you.
All right, Tom. Well, thank you for the call. Dr. Drescher, is that actually, does the data bear out any of what Tom said about millennials and their relationship with other commitments?
No, Not exactly. I mean, one of the things we know is in the last 10 years, there's been a huge increase in volunteerism across the country. And a lot of that's focused around, the energy around that is from specifically from millennials. But they do it very differently. So whereas among boomers or, you know, or even Gen Xers, my generation, or, you know, people who are even in earlier generations, there's a sense if I want to volunteer, I'm going to join St. Vincent de Paul, and I'm going to live out my commitment to volunteering and sharing my resources and all of those kinds of things through that organizational lens. Millennials tend to do it in a much more ad hoc manner, right? We're all kind of people who click and move from one place to another. And that sort of digitally integrated practice informs our lives in lots of ways. So they might find a meetup where they just gather with people to do some food sharing or, you know, some environmental work or whatever. And there's a sustained commitment, but it's in kind of little micro moments that aggregate over time. So it's not less of a commitment. It's just a different configuration of how they commit. The really important thing, though, is that the majority of opportunities for people to do that kind of work, to engage in really important ways that are meaningful to them and enrich their spirits, is the majority of opportunities come from religious organizations. So there are incredible opportunities for people who are affiliated with institutional religions to connect with people, to be in conversation, to continue to be in relationship, even if that's not going to result in somebody joining your church or joining your organization. And I think as long as we stay focused on not membership but engagement, how do we stay in relationship? How do we stay in conversation? How do we stay loving, compassionate people with people who want to be in conversation with us, who want to be connected to the world and to serve the world in very similar kinds of ways, but who do it through different patterns, then I think we're going to see the church change, but it's not going to go away.
Right. I have seen a lot of young people come to a volunteer program, whether a long-term one or a kind of weekend opportunity, and then kind of interact with people there, and they might be spiritual but not religious, and then kind of start asking, well, why are these people doing what they're doing? And getting into those kinds of conversations and getting into those deeper meanings, those deeper motivations that are rooted in a very deep spirituality that is connected to a particular faith. And I think you're right that those conversations really can come out of that in a very natural way, because it really connects back to that authenticity, I think, that this person believes this thing and it has caused them to act in a certain way, and all of these things are consistent with each other.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, where people can make connections, where they can have conversation and feel that they are being valued and respected and they have the opportunity to value and respect others, then there's all kind of growth there. And, we keep going back to Pope Francis, but he continually models this idea of we have to value and nurture acts of goodness wherever they happen, whoever is doing them. We have to allow that to count religiously and spiritually. And so I think we have lots of growing to do there, but we have lots of opportunity.
Sure.
And you give us two ways of looking at this. One is the Good Samaritan, one is the Golden Rule. And I wonder if you could kind of explain that a bit for our listeners.
Yeah, Nancy Ammerman, who's in Boston, actually, did some great work some years ago looking at Christian congregations. And what she found is if you asked people, what's the basis of Christianity? They said, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And, to follow the golden rule, and there are many ways in which there's nothing wrong with that. But what she found was that a focus on the golden rule tends to turn congregations inward. They take care of their own community. They take care of people who are like them, and they don't reach out a lot. They're not interested so much in really the kind of radical change that might transform the world. And when I talked with nuns, I really truly was surprised. I mean, I asked people about their spiritual lives, and one of the questions I asked was, who inspires you? And I asked what resources are important in your spiritual lives, what helps you on however you conceive your journey. And a whole lot of people, including a lot of atheists and agnostics, said, I think of Jesus as an important inspiration. Even if I don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, I still think he was important, is important in the culture. And the story of the Good Samaritan, actually almost all of the parables of Jesus, but especially the story of the Good Samaritan, which is about reaching out to people in their difference and not turning inward, and specifically giving up your own sense of how things are and who you should connect with and in what way, but really seeing other people's needs and extending what you can to them. That was really powerful for
sure.
People. And I think those stories, one of the people I quoted in the article talked about, an atheist, said these are important stories in the culture.
Yeah. Well, the article is called The Gospel According to the Nuns, Reading Scripture Without Religion by Elizabeth Drescher. It's in the June 8, 2015 issue of America, and you can check it out online at americamedia.org. Dr. Drescher, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
And good luck with your work.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.